Tonight I would like to ask a question. What is our mission? What is our mission? You know, we have a church mission statement that we shared, I believe it was 4 years ago. And I wonder how many of our members could recite that mission statement by memory. Some of you are looking at me like, You know, if you think about it, it's been on the back of every one of our bulletins for at least the last 3+ years. It's been hanging on the wall on the back of our sanctuary for the last 3 years. Our mission as a church, I want to challenge every member here tonight to memorize that mission statement, because that's what we're here for. And I'm going to show you in just a moment that mission statement is biblically based. It came out of the mission that Jesus gave to His church. But our mission statement is to love God and people by making, maturing, mobilizing disciples of Jesus in all nations by His or through His power and presence. That is our mission. I believe if you look at what Jesus gave to the church, I believe you would see that that is our mission from Christ. You know, there's no way we can fulfill this mission unless we love God first. That's the first commandment, or the great commandment, is to love God. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. And it's because of a failure of loving God with all of our heart that we do not care much about that mission. I mean, stop and think about that. If we really love God, then we're going to love what's dear to Him. And then love people. You know, the greatest way we can love people, you know what the greatest way you can love people is to share Christ with them. I mean, just like that, people's life can end. Just so sudden. You know, we can think that we have many years ahead of us, but just like that, our life can be gone. Just gone in a moment. The Bible says our life is like a vapor. It appeared for a time and then it vanisheth away. Just that quickly. We stop and think about that. The greatest way we can show our love for our community, it's not by social projects, and I'm not against those things, but it's by giving them the gospel. That's the greatest thing that we can do for our family members, for our friends, for our coworkers, for our neighbors, for our community. And so in our mission statement, it says that we exist to love God and people by making, maturing, mobilizing disciples of Jesus in all nations through His power and presence. You know, I just want to take a moment just very quickly to look through before I get to my text tonight. I want to just very quickly look through the Great Commission passages, and starting with Matthew 28. Because I want you to see that our church mission statement is based on the Great Commission. You know, we just shared Matthew 4:19 a moment ago. Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." You know, when Jesus came on this earth and when He was 30 years old, He began His ministry. And Jesus, the first thing He began to preach, according to Mark 1:14, was that men should repent and believe the gospel. So Jesus started His ministry preaching that message, that men should repent and believe the gospel. And he started calling these men to himself and say, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So at the very beginning of his ministry, all through his ministry, it was about coming to seek and save that which is lost. He was training men, preparing men for that task. And then at the very end of his life, after he was crucified, buried, risen again, we read here in Matthew 28, his words to his church before he ascended back to heaven. He said, beginning in verse number 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. This is his commission that he gave to the church. This is our commission. To go and teach all nations. That means go and make disciples. Baptize them. Mature them. Train them. Teach them. Mobilize them to go and repeat this process. Look in Mark 16. In Mark's gospel, here's how Mark records it in verse 15. Mark 16, 15, it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. So here again we find the commission to go. To go. And in Luke chapter 24, in Luke 24, you'll notice in verse 46, the words of Jesus after his resurrection to the church. He says in verse 46, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. So he tells us here more about the message that we are to preach. We're to preach the message of his death, burial, and resurrection. We're to preach repentance and remission of sins in his name. Go to John 20 and verse 21. Here in John 20, 21, Jesus told his disciples, then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father had sent me, even so send I you. And so as Jesus was sent to the world, he can save that which is lost. He said, even so I send you with the same mission that I had. In Acts 1:8, we have another example of Luke recording in the book of Acts. After his resurrection, it says in verse 8, Jesus said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So here he talks about the power that we have been given to do the work. It's a tremendous task. It requires divine power. And he's given us that power. He's given us that authority. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. And so we have the commission in all these verses. And I believe, without a doubt, every member of Bible Baptist Church agrees that this is the mission Jesus gave us. It'd be hard to find a Christian that didn't believe this. Really, I mean, honestly, those Christians have studied the Word of God. It'd be hard to find one that didn't believe that that was the mission Jesus gave to His churches. You know, it's a tremendous privilege to be entrusted with such a great task, but it's also a tremendous responsibility. And I want to say that while, for the most part, we give lip service to this commission, our actions don't always follow what we say. You know, we have good intentions. We say we believe this. But there's a disconnect a lot of times between what we say and what we done or what we do. You know, there's little, really, honestly, I think. Honestly, there's little being done to reach Dumas, Texas, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even with all the churches we have in this town, there are people out there that are spreading a false gospel week after week after week. But I don't see churches that have the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, going out and spreading the gospel in Dumas, Texas. You know, we may have the public proclamation of the gospel here every Sunday, but that's not the message. Jesus never told lost people to come to church. He told lost people to come to Christ. And He told believers to go into all the world, to go out there and to take them the message of the gospel. That is our responsibility. It's not our responsibility to just sit here and wait for them to come to us, because they're not coming. They're not coming. I mean, why are many of these pews here tonight empty? Because lost people are not going to come here. You know, yes, we might have a few here and there that we invite. I'm not saying we shouldn't preach the gospel on Sunday. We shouldn't invite people. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that that's not what Jesus told us to do. He told us to go. Wherever you are, go and give the gospel. That's what Jesus told us to do. Are we as a church being obedient to that commission? I was going to share a story, but it's kind of long, so I'm going to skip it. And I want you to go to Acts 20. This is going to be my text tonight, and I'm going to make it short. We're going to be out of here by 8 o'clock. I don't want to keep you long, but I want to give you the challenge tonight as we start this new year, 2020. In Acts chapter 20, I want you to look at verse 20. You know, my vision for 2020 is our church would focus on having Acts 2020 vision. You know, focus, you get it? Focus in and having 2020 vision. I don't have 2020 vision as far as my physical eyes right now, but I hope and pray that God would help me this year to have 2020 spiritual vision. Help me to focus on what He's called me to do. And here in this verse, Paul is speaking to the pastors from the church of Ephesus that come to him. And he says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." You know, this was Paul's testimony. What a great testimony. You can read more of his testimony in this chapter, but I just want to zero in on this verse and kind of just break it down for you a little bit, because this was his testimony of his life. And this would be a great goal for each and every one of our lives as well. Let's just break it down very quickly. It says, "How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." I want you to stop and think about that. Paul told these men that came from Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was a huge city in Asia in his day and time. It was a city with many, many idols there. People worshiped these false idols. And Paul went there preaching the gospel. And he tells these men, "You know my life. You know how I've lived among you. And you know that I have not kept anything from you that was profitable." Now, I want you to stop and think about that for a minute, because I want to ask, what does he mean by that? What is he talking about? Something that was profitable? Was he talking about some financial strategy that he shared with them, how they could be successful financially in their lives? What was it that he was talking about being profitable? Profitable is a term that's no doubt a financial term. But before we answer that question, notice the second part of this, but have showed you. He said, "I've not kept nothing back that was profitable unto you, but have showed you." He showed them. Now this is something that, you know, is really convicting to me, because, you know, we as Christians, the best way we can teach and make other disciples is show them. How do you show a Christian how to win souls? You do it yourself. And you take them and you show them. How do you teach your child how to love Jesus? You show them. It's not just sitting down and saying, now you need to love Jesus. You need to go to church. You need to read your Bible. You need to pray. You know, yes, there's teaching, but showing. We show our children. We're to show them by our life that we love Jesus. We're to show them how to love Jesus. We're to show them what's important. Because you know what? When it comes to what I'm talking about tonight, primarily soul winning, that it's caught more than it's taught. You know, we can have all kinds of seminars this year. We can teach how to do soul winning. And we'll do that. But really, where it's really learned is out there. Out on the field, when we see it in action. And even when we are obedient and go by faith and trust God, we say, okay, Lord, I'm really nervous about this. This is out of my comfort zone, but you'll be surprised. I've seen it time and time and time again in my life in ministry. And even though I've been in ministry 27 years and I've shared gospel many, many times with people over the years, I still get nervous. You're not alone in feeling nervous. You're not alone in feeling like, I feel that way. But you know, when I be obedient and I've gone and talked to someone, it's like the Lord just, as you obey, He just begins to fill you with His power, with His Spirit, with wisdom. I mean, it's just like it just falls together. We just need to do it. Mobilizing disciples for the mission, it means just getting people encouraged and prepared to do it. Just do it. You know, maybe we should have put a Nike symbol in your thing there. Just do it. But notice the third part of this verse, have taught you publicly and from house to house. So he didn't just show them. He showed them by His example, by his life, by His testimony, but He also taught them, and He did this publicly, and He did it house to house. This is how He did it. Now, what was He talking about that He kept back nothing profitable? I want to answer that question by looking at the next verse. Verse 21 says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You realize what that is? That is the gospel. I mean, well, that's at least the call of the gospel. The gospel is how the Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. How He died for my sins. He died for your sins because we're sinners. We come short of the glory of God. If we die in our sins, we're going to be separated forever in hell. We're not going to go off into this fluffy place, or we're not going to go to heaven. If you're lost, you're not going to go to heaven. You know, when people die, I've seen it many, many times in funerals, and it's sad. You know, sometimes I think people that die, that they didn't have any testimony of salvation in Christ. They never went to church. They never professed Christ. But yet people say that they went to heaven. I know they say that just out of comfort, out of trying to comfort people's hearts. But listen, let's get to the reality. If you're not saved, you won't go to heaven. You're lost. And we've lost that in churches. We until we get back to realizing the people that are living and breathing all around us, if they don't have Christ as their Savior when they die, they will not go to heaven. They will go to a place of eternal hell forever and ever and ever. That should bother us. That should motivate us because it's reality. And Paul, what he said here, I have not kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. What was profitable? The gospel. And pleading with them to repent and believe the gospel. to repent of their sins and to put their faith in Jesus Christ. That's what he preached. Do you know that that's the most profitable thing for people in 2020? What is the most profitable thing, the most profitable truth that you ever learned in your entire life? What would you say? I mean, the gospel. I mean, if that's not it, something's wrong. I mean, really stop and think about it. When you get down to the reality of life and death, the most profitable thing is the gospel. Because that's our hope of eternal life. And, you know, we have eternal soul. You know, Jackie was asked the question about when we die, we go back to dust. Yes, we go back to dust. We were made of dust of the earth. We die, we go back to dust. Our body does. But your soul doesn't. Your soul lives forever. And so you're going to spend eternity somewhere. And so the most improbable thing that I've ever, most probable truth that ever changed my life was the gospel. It wasn't some financial truth. It wasn't some prosperity principle. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what changed my life. That's what changed your life if you're saved. Aren't you glad someone shared that with you? You know, the first two letters in the word gospel is go. G-O, go. The gospel is not good news if it don't reach the lost in time. Think about it. If it don't reach them in time, it's not good news. You know, really, all the Lord's told us to do is to share it. He didn't tell us to convert people. I can't do that. All the Holy Spirit has to do that. They have to come to Christ. I have to share the gospel. Our goal is share the gospel with every person. You know what my vision is for 2020 for our church is to saturate Dumas with the gospel. Saturate means get every person in Dumas a chance to hear the gospel at least one time. That is my goal. It's really not, it wouldn't be impossible for us to accomplish in 2020 if we mobilize disciples, we get this people together, it won't be impossible. We can do it. We can do it. You know, based on this scripture, let me ask a question. Are we as a church keeping back something that is eternally profitable to our community? Are we keeping back something? You know, the Bible says that the gospel of hid is hid to them that are lost. It's hid from them. The god of this world, Satan, has blinded their minds. They're blinded to it. It's hid from them. Are we as a church keeping that back from them? Something that could be profitable for them. You know, I was encouraged to read that there are many other churches and even Christian organizations that are planning to saturate with the gospel in 2020. I found that encouraging. In fact, there was one organization that they're trying to mobilize 100 million Christians worldwide to reach 1 billion people with the gospel in May 2020. I don't know why they're just choosing May 2020, but that's awesome. If they can do that, get 1 billion people to hear the gospel, that'd be great. You know what excites me about that? That to see that there are others that are making this their goal. Look in Matthew 24 and verse 14. Matthew 24 and verse 14. You know, Matthew 24, Jesus talking about the end times, talking about His coming, His second coming, and so on. But in Matthew 24, 14, He said, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Wouldn't it be great if the Lord came in 2020? Maybe we're hindering that. Maybe It's because God wants a witness. He wants everybody to get have an opportunity to hear the gospel. Let's get out there and give the gospel. Hasten his coming. I don't have time to expand that thought, but it's there in the scripture about hastening his coming. And I'll maybe talk about that another time. But how are we going to accomplish this vision? What's my plan? You know, because I don't want it to just be, oh, this is our New Year message, and then we forget about it the rest of the year. What's the plan? We got to have a plan. We got to implement this plan. We got to execute it if we're going to do it. And we've talked with some of our grow captains, and we're still in the process of working through some things. But we've been sharing some ideas, but one of the things that I do want to share tonight is that one of our plans is we want to, through our grow teams, and I want to remind you, G-R-O-W, it stands for God Rewards Our Work. G, God, R, rewards, O, R, W, work. God rewards our work. That's what GROW stands for. And that's when we first implemented GROW. That's the basis of GROW. We have that basic belief that God's going to reward our work. We go out there and we labor, He's going to reward it. If we don't labor, He's not going to reward. If we sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. If we sow bountifully, we're going to reap bountifully. It's just basic truth. So I think we've reaped sparingly because we've sowed sparingly as a church. Really, honestly. That's the honest truth. And so I wanted, through our growth teams, get some prayer teams that would go into neighborhoods. We're going to mark off some neighborhoods. We're going to plan to saturate Dimas this year. Every house, every person that we can reach in Dimas, we're going to attempt to reach them with the gospel. We're going to mark off community. We're going to send prayer teams to go through those communities and do nothing but pray that week. They walk through, they drive through, they park, they just pray for those people that live in those homes. So all they do is just pray. Like a recon team. They're going before the real battle starts taking place. They go there and they spy it out and they pray and ask God to begin working in those people's hearts and opening their hearts to the gospel message. And then we follow that up with a track team. A team would go through there and track every door in that neighborhood. Every single door, just leave a church track with the gospel on it. And that's the objective, just to leave a track. And then 1, 2 to 3 weeks later, we send out some soul winning teams to that same neighborhood to follow up door to door and asking those people. We had some of our church members come through just a week or so ago that left a little pamphlet on your door. Did you have a chance to see that or read that? And to seek an opportunity to share Christ, to seek an opportunity to ask them if they were able to look at that track, if they had any questions. That is one way I think that we can get the gospel out there, is to purposely do it, to pray, to go out there and saturate it, go back for personal one-on-one personal soul winning, because there's nothing that works better than personal one-on-one. I'm sure that most every person that's saved here tonight, it was because some person talked to you about Jesus personally. I'm sure there might be some of you that were in church. Maybe it's because you heard a gospel message in church. But I'm pretty sure when you came to the altar, somebody talked to you and led you to put your trust in Jesus. You see, there's always a personal worker involved. Almost 100% of the time, there's a personal worker involved in someone coming to know, put their trust in Christ. And so think about that. If we don't work, people don't get saved. People don't come to Christ. I have been looking. We are really getting short on our tracks. And one of the reasons why I decided to wait on our offering till later is because I would like to order this week 5,000 tracks. That we can, they have some nice pictures. We would even have a picture of my wife and I. Maybe that might scare them away. We might rethink that. But it's a little track, a little bit about our church. And then it has the gospel message. But to get 5,000 of them, we can get it for, with tax and all, about $530. That's not much. But I want to just let you know, let's give tonight to meet that need. And let's get some tools ready. And we're going to start working on plans to put that and implement that into action. Think of what our church could do. I'm going to close with this thought. Think of what our church could do together in 2020 if we go 2020. If we go 2020. If we mobilize disciples for the mission. Think of what could happen in our church. There's no greater joy than having new people that just trusted Christ as their Savior. You know, there's such joy in that. And being able, can you imagine 1 year from now having a dozen families in our church that are newborn in Christ? Because we obeyed God in January 2020 and we worked through the year and we had a dozen people come to Christ. Let me just point out an example without trying to create any embarrassment, but it's pretty obvious that most people in our church have enjoyed seeing Robert and Melinda grow in the Lord. They've just been saved a couple of years now, and to see their discipleship and see them growing in the Lord. Imagine a dozen of those couples. Wouldn't that be exciting? I mean, really, that's not the main, I mean, that, yeah, we want to see that, but the main objective is just to go in obedience to Christ. This, our Lord's command. This, our Lord's command. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. I want you to stand with me tonight. We're going to pray. We're going to have an invitation time. The need tonight is for each of us who are saved tonight to surrender our lives to follow Jesus. Jesus said, follow me. Are you willing to answer that call? You know, you can be saved and not be following Jesus. You could have trusted Christ for your sake, for your salvation, but will you surrender to follow Jesus in 2020? Say, Lord, I want to follow you. And would you allow him to transform you, to make you through his word, through his Holy Spirit, as you commit your time to him in the word of God and in prayer and church attendance and fellowship with the other Christians. You commit yourself to the Lord and following him. You allow him to transform you. And we need Christians tonight to join Jesus on his mission. There's a part and a place for every person in this mission. Every person can do their part to reach people with the gospel. We all have to be willing to get out of our comfort zone. Launch out into the deep. Be willing to learn. Be willing to grow. But maybe you're here tonight. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You don't know for sure if he died tonight. But tonight, I want to encourage you, don't leave this service tonight without knowing Christ. You can come to this invitation and we'll be glad to show you from the Bible how you can be saved. Don't wait till it's eternally too late. Father, we thank you so much for this evening, the challenge you've given us for this year. Lord, it's a tremendous challenge. It's not going to be easy. I know there are going to be battles. There are going to be distractions. Lord, there are going to be times of discouragement. But Lord, I ask that You would help us as a church, that we would join together in this mission with Jesus, that we would be mobilized to go with the gospel. Lord, there are people everywhere that need Jesus. And Lord, we are keeping back something that's profitable for them. We're not showing them. We're not teaching them from house to house. Lord, help us to do that. Lord, help us to give us the wisdom. Give us the tools. Give us the encouragement. Give us everything we need, Lord, to fulfill this mission. And Lord, I know that if we would give our hearts to this, Lord, I know that You would supply every need that we have in 2020. Because, Lord, that's where Your heart is. Lord, that's Your desire for our church, for our personal lives. Oh, dear God, I pray that this would be a year of fruitfulness, a year of revival, a year of souls coming to Christ. Lord, it'd be even great if it's the year that You come back. Lord, help us to prepare our hearts tonight by giving ourselves to You, being committed followers of Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.